Hopefully, no one turned off, we're back, and hopefully you can now hear me. And so what I'm going to do is, for those of you who were watching before, we're going to just pick up at the beginning of our sermon tonight, not with the overview I did of our Lenten series, which is open our eyes, open our hands, open our ears. Tonight we are on open our hearts, and when we look at it, it's something that there's a lot of confusion about in this day and age. You will oftentimes hear people say something like, oh, he's a good man, or she's a nice lady, a good lady, or they have a good heart. And there could be nothing further from the truth from a biblical standpoint. You see, when we look to Scripture, this is what it says about the heart. Jeremiah 17, verse 9. The heart is deceitful above all things. When we go to Proverbs 27, verse 19, we read, the heart of man reflects the man. In other words, what we do in life reflects what is in our heart. And Jesus, in our gospel tonight, Matthew 6, 21, says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. But let's go back to the two great truths that we heard in last week's sermon on Open Our Ears. It's from the book of Deuteronomy, from the Shema, the prayer that would be prayed every morning and every evening by the Hebrew people. It begins, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. And right on its heels, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. And that's where we come to a dilemma. A dilemma that can make this a very uncomfortable sermon. Do I really love the Lord my God with all my heart? Do I live the Great Commission that our Lord gave us in Matthew 28, 19, and 20? Do I actually live? Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Because if I love the Lord my God with all my heart, then that should be at the very forefront of what my heart is all about. That is what my treasure should be. Do I really love the Lord so much that I follow the words of 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing? Do I love the Lord so much that I follow Jesus' words in Matthew 5:44 to love my enemies and pray for those who persecute me? Do I treasure up that love of the Lord so much that I store up his words in my heart? Psalm 99:11. You know, think about it. Do we really store up God's word in our hearts? To be able to store it up, I think we have a little bit of an image of that in our society today. We have people going to the store and storing up. They are going and buying boatloads of toilet paper, hand sanitizer. I saw a picture of somebody with a shopping cart completely filled with milk. I wondered if it was for a child care center of 200 or 300 children. But to store up means you have to go and get it and put it in the storehouse. Are we actually going and taking our Bible, opening it up, reading it and taking those words and storing them right here? Or are we just giving the Bible lip service? Do we treasure the love of our Lord so much that we follow his command to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy? Or are our hearts devoted, are our hearts loving something else? Or some things else? Do we have other gods? Do we have other things that are there in our heart that are ruling our lives that lead us away from what the Bible tells us to do? Have our hearts as a result become deceitful? And do we change God's word to meet what we love? Or do we maybe just lie about what God's word really says? You see, I think all too often, we, all of us, are like King Saul. In 1 Samuel 15, Saul was given a direct order from the Lord. Go strike Amalek and devote to destruction all that they have. Do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, child and infant, ox and sheep, camel and donkey. In today's day and age, such a command just would not fly. It is way too politically incorrect. And yet God made this command because he knew the Amalekites. And he knew that if the children of Israel did not wipe them out, but instead tried to cohabitate with them in the promised land, that those Amalekites would lead their hearts away from the Lord. So he said, get rid of them. And what do we read Saul did? But Saul and the people spared Agag and the best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fattened calves and the lambs and all that was good and would not utterly destroy them. All that was despised and worthless, they devoted to destruction. You know, maybe to put it into context, just imagine that as a result of this coronavirus, it was determined by the scientific community that the coronavirus was actually being spread by the exhaust of cars. And therefore, we are to go and destroy all cars immediately. And if you were going down the street and you saw a car, let's say a brand new Ferrari, sitting in front of someone's house, the window open, the key in the ignition, would you destroy it or take it for a test drive? Maybe hide it in your garage. Let's say that right next to that Ferrari was, this will date me, but going back to the 1970s and 80s, VW came out with this car called The Thing. It had interchangeable body parts so that you could turn it into a convertible or like a van or whatever you wanted, but it was well known for those body parts falling off if you drove anything over 30 miles an hour. It was an absolute piece of junk. You might look at that and say, yeah, let's destroy that. We'll burn that. We'll beat that up. That Ferrari, that's a different story. And that's the way the children of Israel were. They took the Yugos, the things, and whatever other lousy cars there are out there. They destroyed what was worthless. They kept the good stuff. And then we read that as Saul's coming back, he meets the prophet Samuel. And what does he say when he sees Samuel? He says, "Blessed be you to the Lord." Now listen for this very next word. I. One letter long, but one of the biggest words in our language. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Samuel's response is classic. I wish we had it on Facebook Live. I can just see him putting his hand up to his ear like this and saying, "What then is this bleating of the sheep in my ears and the lowing of the oxen that I hear?" I'm sure it wasn't that he just heard them. He saw all of these sheep and the oxen being brought up from Amalek. And Paul's response, or Saul's response, deception. Remember that I word? I have performed the commandment of the Lord. Notice this little move. They have brought them. The worthless they devoted to destruction. But the best, they've kept the best for, that's right, a sacrifice to the Lord. Saul's or Samuel's response, stop. Quit lying. And then he tells Saul, I will tell you what the Lord said to me. The Lord said, he anointed you king. It might be little in your own eyes, but it's huge in the eyes of the Lord, because you, Saul, the king, you were to love the Lord, and you were to do what he says and be an example for all the people he made you king over. The Lord sent you on a mission, Saul, saying, devote to destruction the sinners, the Amalekites. Fight till they are consumed. Why then did you not obey? And again, we see Saul. Deceptive heart. He tries to rationalize. I have obeyed. I devoted them to destruction. But now the blame. But the people took the spoil. Again, he said, I'm the good guy. My heart's pure. It's all these people. How often do we say something about, you know, workers are only as good as their manager. A manager is only as good as his boss. People are only as good as their king. And this is where Samuel gives us that great quote. Saul, to obey is better than sacrifice. And then he tells Saul, God has rejected you from being king. Why? Because of reality. And this is not just uncomfortable, it's scary. 1 Samuel 16, verse 7. The Lord looks on the heart. Saul could have a motor mouth and say whatever he wanted, but it was the Lord who looked right here. And the Lord who continues to look right here. And in fact, when we think about it, that right now, God looks at our heart. You may be asking yourself, how can I then be saved? Because he knows everything that goes on in my heart. He knows my evil thoughts. He knows my anger. He knows my pride. How can I be saved? And listen very carefully, because the Bible gives us the answer. Acts 16, verse 14. The Lord opened her heart, excuse me, to pay attention to what was said. This was Lydia, that seller of purple goods from Thyatira, from Acts chapter 16. Notice she did not ask Jesus into her heart. No, the Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said. And notice what happens as a result. There is action. Luke records that she and her whole household were baptized, and that she prevailed on Paul, Silas, and Luke to stay with her and her family. She fed them, she cared for them. But it all started with the Lord opening her heart. So often today, we hear people take credit. I asked Jesus into my heart, and I this, and I that, and I this, and I that. Not one bit of that could happen unless the Lord opened their heart first. And that is what we should be saying. The Lord opened my heart. Now you might be thinking, oh, Matt, you're just making a big deal out of nothing here. It's just a little game of words or whatever. No, it is not. What the Bible tells us about our hearts is that our hearts are deceitful above all things, that our hearts are set against God, and that we are doomed unless Ezekiel 36, 26, I will give you a new heart. This is what is biblical. It's God who does it. And he transforms our heart in three distinct ways. Jeremiah 31, 33. He writes his law on our heart. Galatians 4, verse 6. He sends his spirit into our hearts. Ephesians 3, 17. It is Christ who dwells in our heart. And so when we take a look in the New Testament, with Lydia, or with Peter's Pentecost sermon, what is it that really happened? Well, let's read it. They were cut to the heart. They heard the gospel message. The Lord opened their hearts to receive it, and that word cut to their hearts. They realized we are sinners. We need a Savior. And that then leads to the what must I do to be saved? And Peter's answer, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the forgiveness of sins. And you will receive the Holy Spirit. Where? Well, right there, Galatians 4, 6. In your heart. May God open our hearts this night to truly love Him with all of our hearts. And then may we, with hearts filled with God's Spirit, filled with our Savior, go out into the world that is scared of the coronavirus, worried about their 401k dropping through the basement floor, worried about their job. May He then give us that peace that passes all understanding, because we know we are redeemed, we are saved, and we are in His hands with hearts that belong to Him. In our Savior's name, amen. Please join me in a word. Almighty eternal God, we live in a country that has been turning away from you. We live in a country that is now scared and desperate for answers to a virus, for answers to the direction our country should go. And Lord, we pray that through the power of your Spirit and the power of your word, it would cut to the hearts of the people in America, and we would turn to you. We pray, Lord, that you would begin within your church, and that you would cut to our hearts, Lord. Lay us bare so that we see our Savior, so that we see that without Him, we are nothing, but that with Him, we are the forgiven, the redeemed, co-heirs of the kingdom of heaven, and those whom you have called to be your servants in this world. Lord, may we be worthy ambassadors, and may we bring that hope and joy and the light of the gospel into a world that is indeed quite dark. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And now receive God's blessing. May the Lord God bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious. May He lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. Amen. A couple of quick words or announcements. Apologize for our rough beginning tonight. We usually have this right. We do this normally on Sundays. That was my problem, an operator error. There's a little button on my microphone that says mute, and I pushed it to mute. And so that was my fault. I apologize for that. But we will be continuing with Wednesday evening services at 7 o'clock here on Facebook Live. Our Sunday service will be broadcast at 10 o'clock. If you'd like to keep up with what we are doing, please go to our webpage at www.zlclodi.org. We will have updates on Bible study opportunities both here at the church, where we will be practicing social distancing, but we also hope next week to begin offering online Bible study opportunities using the Zoom app. And so I encourage you to get that Zoom app and also go to our webpage, and you can find directions there and times there for where we will be doing these sorts of things. You can also make contact with us on that webpage, and there are ways that we can be of service to you or that you think we can get the gospel message out during this time. Please share it in an email to us, and we'll take a look at that. And right now, there's many things I think we could be doing. So let's identify them, and let's start doing them. Have a blessed evening, and may the Lord take you and use you as an instrument of His word tomorrow. Amen. Done.